just want to pick up some of the themes that we've been talking about this morning. I think when God is speaking to us, it's always good to have ears that hear and listening to what God is saying. But we've been talking about faith this morning and putting our faith in God. And a few weeks ago, I was talking about faith, and what faith is finding out what is true and believing it and putting our faith in it. So when God's promises that we read in the Word are true, we put our faith in them, because that is how God works. We are a faith community. That's what we're called. So our faith is in God. And sometimes that can be quite difficult, because we think we've put our faith into something and nothing happens. And so we go, oh, that wasn't very good, was it? But there is something about faith that takes determination. We've not got to lose sight of what we're putting our faith in. And I don't know when the last time you did something new was, but last week I did something I've never done before. I started a Pilates class. Okay. I was the only bloke there. But that was because for a number of years now I've had back problems. And I found out that I'm not very good really with my spine. It's fused together. So they said, there's nothing we can do for you, but I'll tell you what, we'll send you off to Pilates. So the faith aspect of this is that I went for the first week and did all the exercises and came out and felt no different. What's the point of that? I thought I'll be healed. But I went last week and we did some more exercises. And so the faith aspect is that as I do this on a weekly basis and build up the muscles around my spine, it will make a difference. But I've got to put my faith in that, otherwise I'll stop going. And sometimes in our faith life, that's how we operate. We put our faith in God. We go, I'm going to trust God for this. And we trust God, which is the right thing to do. But nothing seems to change. And so we lose our faith. We're not applying our faith. And so those of you who are going through stuff, we've got to be determined to put our trust in God and all of his promises. And the Bible is full of promises towards us. And we've got to put our trust in what God says. And sometimes we don't feel any different. Or circumstances don't change. But we don't change our faith. We don't change the focus of what we're putting our trust in. And that is God's promises. His promises are yes and amen. I'll talk a little bit about timescales as I'm talking, because our timescales and God's timescales don't always align. And that frustrates us, because we want stuff now, not next year or the year after or whenever. We want it now, and that's part of our human condition. But God lives outside of this time, and we've got to put our faith in him that he knows, he understands, and he will fulfill his promises. But we have to be faithful. So be faithful in your journey with God. Don't allow circumstances to put you off believing his promises. I want to continue or add a little bit to what Jed was talking about last week, which was the second coming, for those of you who were here. For those of you who weren't here, please listen to it online. If you go onto our website, you'll be able to pick it up there. It's what we believe about the second coming of Jesus, the theology around it, the truth behind it, and we really want to kind of teach that to you as the congregation. Jesus is coming again. We don't know when, but we know he's coming again. And what I want to look at really is so if we know Jesus is coming again, how does that impact how we live? How does that impact the way we on a daily basis, we live this Christian life? What should it do to us? So I'm going to read from 2 Peter 3, verse 1 to 2. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. And another version that may be easier to understand. Now, dear friends, this is the second letter I've written to you to encourage you to do some honest thinking. I don't want you to forget what God's prophets said would happen. You must never forget what the holy prophets taught in the past, and you must remember what the apostles told you our Lord and Saviour has commanded us to do. It was a reminder from Peter about thinking differently, about waking up our thought processes in terms of our life here on earth. Jesus is coming again. What difference does that make to me? And so Peter was really saying, come on, you've got to do some honest thinking about this. You've got to think about what this means to you today. The early church was a new expression of God's plans for the world. And it would have been full of excitement. And if you read in the early books of Acts, it was a dynamic organization. It just transformed the whole community. It was full of excitement, full of faith, full of the miraculous, and it grew rapidly and became a powerful force in Jerusalem. It was existential in its growth. It just multiplied and multiplied. But it was under persecution. And I think sometimes when we read the word, we forget that a lot of the promises are around, actually, we're going through hard times here, we're being persecuted. And it was an encouragement to the early church to not give up and to keep on going. But they were under persecution. Jesus was a reality, as many would have experienced him walking around Jerusalem. They'd have seen him, spoken to him. And he said he was coming back. Now, if I go out the house and say I'm coming back, Linda expects me back kind of later on in the day sometimes. And if I'm not back, she starts to panic. I don't know why. Why do you panic? She starts to panic. What's happened to him? Because we all go through this, don't we? He's not come back. Has he gone somewhere else? Is he hurt? What's happened?
Fell in the pond,
yeah. I fell in my fishing pond. Yeah. Yeah, it was too good to come home. Yeah. So all those kind of things. But when we say we're going to do something, I'll see you later or I'll see you tomorrow, there is an expectation that that's going to happen. And so when Jesus said, I'm coming back, there was this expectation that Jesus was going to come back sort of tomorrow or maybe in a week or maybe a month. And this letter was written in 65 to 68 AD. Jesus hadn't come back. And Peter was reminding the people, reminding the believers, that they were to remember the promises of God and that God keeps his promises. But for them living in that, it would have been, well, yeah, but he said he's coming back, but he hasn't. So is he telling the truth or not? What's going on? And so we can begin to wane in our faith. If the things that we expect to happen don't happen, we can begin to go, I'm not sure about all this stuff. But Peter's going, do some honest thinking here. Do some honest thinking. Jesus is coming back. Just think about that and apply some faith to it. So this is what Peter wrote later on in that chapter. It's 2 Peter 3, 9 to 10. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Says, doesn't it, that the day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So the time element to God is different than our time element. And so we're very time-driven in the West. We start work at 8 or 9. We work till 5. We go home and have tea. We arrange meetings at particular times, and we expect everybody to be there. We start church at 10:30. And we expect everybody to be here because that's what we like in the West, isn't it? But when we go to other continents, if we go to Africa or India, time is a different thing, isn't it? I know we used to go to India many years ago and time didn't exist. We'd organise a meeting for somebody at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and by 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, they hadn't arrived. So we were wanting to go home, and they say, where is he? Oh, he's coming. He's coming. He'll be here. And he did. Eventually, somebody arrived, because the concept of time is somewhat different. And I'm sure we've all experienced that. It can be frustrating, but that's not our culture. That's the way other continents live. And so we can be like that with God. His time element is different than ours, and we want this stuff now. And his days aren't bound by time. So when God says Jesus is coming back, we kind of go, we fix the time on that very quickly. Well, he's got to come back now. He's got to come back before that happens. He's got to come back because all the signs are saying he's going to come back. But God isn't bound by that because his ways are different than our ways. He sees time. He sees eternity. He sees each of us differently than we see ourselves. And the disciples were just as guilty of forgetting what Jesus had said, even though they lived with him and saw what he did for a period of around 3 years. Jesus told them that he would be crucified and he would rise again, but they soon forgot that. Jesus was constantly reminding them that this was going to happen. But when it happened, they were taken by surprise. Thomas said, I don't believe he's risen from the dead. Even though he's been saying he's going to rise from the dead, even though I've seen all those miracles, I've seen the new way he brings this revelation of who God is and the kingdom of heaven, I don't believe it. Not until I see his hands and I see the side where the spear went in, not until I see those will I believe. And the two on the way to Emmaus going, I'm not sure what all that was about. We thought he was going to save the Jewish nation. We thought he was going to rise up and overcome the Romans. What's all this about? So soon people began to forget who Jesus was and what he had promised. And we can be in that boat ourselves, forgetting the things that God has promised us in our lives. And because we haven't got them in our time scale, we forget them. And just as we are going through this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to remind you what his promises to you are. Some of us have had big promises from God, but because it hasn't happened immediately, we've let it go. We've put it on one side. Our perceived delay in the second coming is a display, actually, of God's long-suffering and patience and grace. You see, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He says that in 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. So he's prolonging the second coming of Jesus because he doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to hear this amazing story of grace and good news and love and forgiveness. John 3:16 tells us that, doesn't it? For God so loved who? The world. He loved the world that he gave us his son that we might experience this amazing gift of salvation. His delayed coming gives opportunity for the church to demonstrate God's love so that more people can have an encounter with God. It's our role, it's our job, if you like, as church, to demonstrate who God is, to display him, to show him off in our lives so that people come to us and go, I want some of what you've got. A couple of months ago, I spoke about, is what you've got worth giving away? And what God has given to us is an amazing gift of salvation and transformation. And he wants us to give it to others. And that's our role as church. And so he's delayed his coming so that we as church can demonstrate that to our local community. It also puts us, or gives us, responsibility as believers. Later on in 2 Peter, it says this in verse 14 and 15. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, that is his coming, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him. So there's two things there, isn't there? We've got to be ready We've got to be making every effort to do something so that God can be continually working in our lives as well. There's that saying, isn't there, that we used to say, God's not finished with me yet. And while we have breath in our body, God has not finished with us. He's wanting to do new things in us. He's wanting to bring more transformation within us. And this is a great opportunity. So make every effort. Make every effort to work with God and allow him to transform us. Our salvation is a lifelong journey, and we must be diligent to make every effort that we keep our peace with God, that our lives reflect the truth of who God is. And his delay gives us an opportunity to grow fruit in our lives, to live pure lives, to live at peace with God as we press on. I love that scripture where it says, but I press on. I know the stuff that's gone on behind me, but I'm going to press on. I'm going to receive everything that God has got for me. I'm going to put my faith in who God is, that he's going to continue working in my life and bringing those promises to pass. We prepare ourselves for the second coming of Christ. In life, if we know we have an event coming up, we prepare for it, don't we? If we're getting married, we prepare for that. Births, exams, we prepare. Oh, I didn't prepare for exams, so I failed them all. And that's, I don't know about you, but I didn't really work very hard. I knew they were coming, but it didn't make any difference to my attitude towards them. And so our attitude towards Christ's second coming should be, I'm preparing for this. I'm going to be ready. So if he comes tomorrow, could he come tomorrow? Was Jed asking last week, can he come tomorrow? It's a good question, isn't it? But we've got to live as though he's coming tomorrow and get our lives right with. What a great opportunity to think like that and go, I'm going to put my life right with God. I'm going to put my life right with all my brothers and sisters and my family and all the people that I know. If there's anything between me and them, I'm going to put it right because Jesus might come tomorrow. It puts a pressure on us to get things right. It's a parable. Matthew 25, 1 to 13, it's the story of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise, the 5 foolish. And it's a parable about preparedness. They were going to meet the bridegroom who was delayed. They all knew he was coming. They were all invited to this event. But due to his lateness, 5 of them didn't have oil for their lamps and went out to buy some. But during their absence, the bridegroom arrived and they missed out on that celebration. And so it's quite a deep story, that, isn't it? We've got to be prepared. We know Jesus is coming. Let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare our lives for his coming so we don't miss out on the celebration. In verse 16 of 2 Peter 3, it says this, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some thoughts that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Some of the scriptures we read are hard to understand. They are. I don't know whether anybody has ever understood all the Bible. I would suggest not. But because it is hard to understand, we can so easily be misled by others. And we've got to be careful when we're listening to anybody that speaks from the front, anybody we watch on TV or on social media, because people can take advantage of that and we can be taught wrong theology. And so Paul was really challenging the church about the truth of what Jesus said, the truth of the promises of God, the truth about Jesus is coming again. Don't allow people to distort the truth in our lives. I would say that the theology about the second coming of Jesus falls into the category of it's quite hard to understand. It's important that we listen to the right people, because there are some who seek to deceive us. There's all kinds of theologies around the second coming of Jesus. And I suppose what we would say is he's coming again. That's it. He's coming again. We don't predict it. We don't try and work it out. We've been given some signs of the times that would indicate that he's coming again. But we don't make up any theology about it. We just know he's coming again. And because we know he's coming again, we've got to prepare our hearts, our lives for his coming, whether he comes or not. That's how we should be living our lives. It's certainly changed some of our plans, some of our behaviours, some of our relationships and time management. What we do and where we go would certainly come under review, and we would have to challenge some of those things. In my younger days at church, and many of you will have grown up in church, some of you in this church, they used to say, what would you do if Jesus came back and you were at the cinema? Ooh. You remember those days? If you were at the cinema with Jesus, what would happen? Or at a football match, or at a concert, or you were in the pub or somewhere where maybe you shouldn't have been and Jesus came back, what would happen? I don't know. Well, I do. We've got to put our faith in what God says, not make up things that put pressure on us. But Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. It doesn't matter where we are, as long as our heart is prepared for his coming. It was a warning to live a holy and righteous life, to encourage us in our early days as believers. Here at Carmel Community Church, our vision statement is to live it, is to understand our faith, understand what it means, and live in a way that we demonstrate who God is, we demonstrate what he's doing in our lives, that we share our faith with those around us so that they can hear and see this wonderful gift of salvation lived out in our daily lives. Peter was encouraging the believers to understand God's plan for the world and trust in his timing. It could be tomorrow, or it could be in 1,000 years. In God's economy of time, it's the same thing. We sometimes struggle with that concept. But we live in expectation, not losing heart, and being prepared for his coming. You know, God has given us some great promises, and he wants to fulfill them in our lives before he comes again. What a great opportunity it is for us to put those things right in our hearts and in our lives, to actually step out in faith in the things that have been promised. Let's see them happen, because I know he's coming again. I want to receive everything that God has got for me. I don't know whether you've ever given anybody a gift and they've gone, oh, thanks very much, and put it down on one side and never even opened it. And sometimes our Christian walk can be a little bit like that. We've got this gift and we go, well, that's good, I'll put it down there, and when I think I'm going to need it, I'll go and open it and use it. That just stunts our growth. That just stops what God is trying to do in us. And I love the chapter in the verse in Ephesians that says he can do more than you can imagine or think. He is greater than the thoughts that you are having. And we so easily limit God by our own understanding of who God is. We limit what he wants to do in our lives. Some of you will have had promises that go, God's going to do something spectacular in your lives. He's going to move you into areas where you, and you go, that's not possible. How can he do that? How can he take me and turn me into that? That's why we need to walk by faith. And I've said before that when I was growing up, I kind of had a call of God in my life, but I never thought I would be doing this. If you'd have said 46 years ago that I would be in this place now doing what I'm doing, I would have gone, no chance. No chance. But there we go, when we begin to trust God, he takes us on this journey, and it's amazing. He takes us beyond our own abilities, beyond our own expectations and our own thoughts. Don't limit God, because he doesn't want to be limited. Let's put our faith in him, knowing he's coming back again and he's got a work to do. He's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. Don't stop him working in your life. He's coming back. He wants to complete you. Let's give him every opportunity. Thank you for listening.